Thank you, Ben. My goodness. It makes me want to preach. That reminds me of a story. I almost told it to you 2 weeks ago, but I was getting too many in a row there. This minister noted one Sunday that there was a piece of paper in the offering plate. It said, "I owe you $5. Now, that's kind of unusual. Next Sunday, there was one that said, "I owe you $10. Next Sunday, I owe you $5. Next Sunday, I owe you $20. You know, I don't know who's doing this. And then at the end of the first of the next month, the check showed up for the amount of all the IOUs. And he figured out whoever was doing it was indicating his or her pleasure with the sermon by how much was on the slips there. And that worked fine until one Sunday he looked in the plate and he says, "You owe me $10. Oh, a couple of other pieces of wisdom I have to share with you. I have a couple of sites that send me jokes and puns every day, so it keeps me fresh here. What do you call a wasp that collects honey? A wannabe. And what's an iPhone in a blender called? Applesauce. Is that enough? Okay. Well, we have been sharing this month about imagination, and I was excited about this topic. I knew a year ago what the topics for this year were, so it's been in my mind for quite some time, and I always do, no matter what I'm working on for the immediate future, there's always this side thought pattern going on about what's coming up. So I've been toying with this idea of imagination for some months now, quite a few months. I started out the month talking about, as I often do, the foundation, the basics of what this thing is we're talking about. What is it? What is imagination? And then we talked about imagination and prosperity, which is a really nice practical application of imagination. And then imagination and healing last Sunday. And I had the brilliant idea of talking about the imagination and the unimaginable. Now, this came to mind when I remembered a conversation that I'd heard between a couple of people, and one of the people sat talking about some really, really traumatic, horrible experience they had in their life, and the other person said, "Well, I just can't imagine that." And that phrase has gone through my mind over and over again, "I just can't imagine that." So I thought, well, what is the unimaginable? Is there something that we cannot imagine? Now, I did research in psychology about imagination, and there's a whole area in psychology that deals with it. I researched in physiology, again, a whole area concerned with imagination. And of course, theology and metaphysics, find a lot of it there. But I didn't find anything at all in all that research that I was doing, nothing about the unimaginable. I thought, well, somebody else is bound to have thought about this before, but I couldn't find anybody, so this is all my stuff here, for whatever that's worth. We'll take a look at the unimaginable. Now, the unimaginable is a little bit like the koan from Zen Buddhism, you know, the famous one, most well-known one, is what's the sound of one hand clapping? That defies logic and reason. You have to think about it in a very different kind of way. A similar one is, if a tree falls in the forest and no one's there to hear it, is there a sound? Oh, and one more. If a man speaks and a woman's not there to hear him, is he still wrong? And I use that not to put women down or whatever else, but just to remind you that don't tell stories like that. Some people don't like them. But this idea of the unimaginable is really interesting to me. And one thing that came up is, if I can ask, what idea is unimaginable by our imagination? Haven't I just imagined it? That's kept me up on several nights thinking that one through. Well, I didn't think it through. It kind of left it there for a while. The unimaginable. Now, you remember that imagination is our ability to pull out of formlessness some kind of form. Pull some kind of idea, some kind of image, some feeling, some vision, whatever, out of the formless and give it form with our imagination. Every invention that there's ever been began with imagination, because the idea was pulled out of the formless, given form, and then manifested. And that's our famous metaphysical creative process, mind, idea, expression. But are there things that we cannot imagine? Are there things that we can't shape into an idea, into an image, whatever? I spent a lot of time thinking about that and a lot of research. And I've come up with one thing. One thing that is absolutely unimaginable. Now hang in there with me on this. Now, people often ask me about the process of preaching and how you get there. And there's sometimes when in writing a sermon and then in preaching it, it's like turning a spigot on. And the energy just flows and it's just wonderful. I enjoy it immensely. And then there are other times when it's not like that. Guess which one this one is? Huh? This one didn't flow for me like that, so I've had to really hammer it out. So if it seems kind of disjointed in places, it's because it is. Someone said one time that the minister's job is to comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable. And I'm afraid I'm going to be doing some afflicting this morning, giving you these ideas without a lot of answers. But it's a lot of interesting things to think about. And I think it has a practical application as well. So, what is it that is unimaginable? What is it that we cannot create an image of in our mind, that we can't find the words to describe or have a feeling about it, whatever? What is it that is unimaginable? And I came up with one thing, and that is this fact, that you can never be completely alone. You can never be separate from spirit. You cannot imagine, it is unimaginable, being separate from spirit. At least from my perspective, it is unimaginable that you can ever be completely alone, because those things can't exist. Because we are, as I've said so many times, I am spirit being Lawrence. Without spirit, Lawrence isn't. Without Lawrence, spirit is not expressing in that particular way. So it's impossible that we could ever be separate from spirit, because if we were to be separate, we would cease to exist. That idea has no way of coming into form. Now you may hear that and say, well, okay, everybody knows that. That's no big deal. But it's important that we look at that and recognize that and appreciate that truth. Now, up until a few years ago, you probably didn't give a second thought about voting in political elections, right? You just did it. You knew where to go. You cast your ballot and everything was fine. You don't give it any thought. We're having to think about it differently now because of the things that are going on out in the political world. But don't take that for granted. Realize how wonderful it is to be able to vote in a free election. So many places in this world don't have that privilege, don't have that opportunity. So many places where people live, they can't drive across boundary lines without papers and all kinds of issues and problems. And we can drive from state to state without any question at all. There are all kinds of laws of reciprocity between states and between areas, and we enjoy that. We don't have to worry about that. You don't think about it much either. And you don't think about voting. You don't think about being able to cast your ballot and not worry about it. And we don't think about the fact that we cannot be alone. We don't think about the fact that we cannot be separate from God. We just assume it. It's just there. But I want to plant that seed in your mind to give that some thought and realize that to be alone is unimaginable, because it can't be. You cannot be alone. Now, in your humanness, you may find yourself without any other human company around you, and you may go through relationships where you get rejected and mistreated and whatever, and you feel like nobody cares about you, and you feel alone. And those are feelings. They are real, but it doesn't represent true reality. You can't imagine truly being alone, because you are connected with spirit in a way that cannot be changed. It cannot be diminished. It cannot be done away with. So it is unimaginable for you to ever be truly alone. Now for me, the practical application of that is that when you do experience a sense of aloneness as a human, remind yourself that you can never be truly alone. Yes, I feel alone right now because my friend ran off and left me. I feel truly alone right now because I'm hundreds of miles away from my family. Yes, those feelings come. But it makes a difference when you can go to a bigger truth than that. And I'm not minimizing your feelings about humanly feeling alone. Those are significant. They're important. But they're not ultimate. And when you have those feelings, put them in perspective by knowing and reaffirming, reminding yourself that I cannot be alone. That is unfathomable. That idea can't even come together because it is totally unreal. And it puts things in a little bit different light when you realize that. When you remind yourself that I cannot be separated from Spirit. No matter how I feel, those feelings come and go depending on whether you ate too many tacos or whatever you like to binge out on. The feelings come and go. The thoughts come and go, but the truth is present. And we can never be separate from Spirit. No matter what the circumstances are, no matter what my feelings are, no matter what people feel about me, those are things that we experience and we deal with on some level. But the absolute, the ultimate truth is I cannot be separate from God. I cannot be ever completely alone. And there are times when that knowing will get you through. There are times when that will pick you up when everything else has knocked you down. There are times when that will address the fear that you may be feeling in the midst of some challenging situation. To affirm that absolute truth, I cannot ever be alone. That is unfathomable. That is unimaginable that I could be separate from God, that I could be truly alone. And that knowing is like standing on a rock in the middle of a storm. The storm is still there, but the rock is there that you get to stand on. Now, we can't really explain that, and we get lost in this kind of philosophical debate over the koans and things like that, and this idea of what is unimaginable anyway. But we know that there's a mystery to life. Isaiah, in quoting God, said, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher above the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Now, are we going to understand this completely? No. I've spent hours and hours and hours and hours going over this over and over again, and what I come back to, the only thing that gives me peace about it is say it's a mystery. It is unimaginable. And I can't explain that adequately, but I do believe that we can understand it in such a way that it has meaning and purpose for us in our lives. So once again, I want to give that to you for this week as you think about the unimaginable and focus on the fact that you cannot be separate from Spirit. You cannot be truly alone ever. And we can't even have the idea of that. We can't even imagine that because it cannot exist in any way. And to me, that's really very powerful. That's a strong place for us to stand. It is an unmoving place for us to stand. So when we understand what the sound of one hand clapping is, when we understand what happens when an irresistible force meets an immovable object, when we understand all these other mysteries about life, then we will understand the unimaginability of being separate from God, of being truly alone. Until that time, you know the truth. You know what to stand on. You know what to hold on to and stay firm and stay strong in that truth. That's where I see you right now. God bless you.
Well, as we start into this week ahead, we can all imagine having a fabulous, wonderful, positive week, letting our light shine, be a blessing to others. And now it's time to share in what we have been given, what we are blessed with. And that is such a range of people and experiences, but we know that here at Unity of Pompano, our source is coming from the free-flowing ideas, coming from Spirit. And we say, yes, it comes from our members and congregants, those who are online sending in their donations, of course. That's the form that it's taking. But it comes in other ways, too. Gifts that come from here and there, rentals, bookings, all sorts of different ways, and free will giving. So we encourage you to open your heart and open your wallet, because for some, that's the last hurdle to living a carefree life, is letting go of that feeling of tightness that you don't have enough or you won't have enough, and rely on Spirit to show you how you have enough and how you continue to have enough even while you give. So we appreciate everything that you give here so very much. We especially appreciate those of you who give on a regular basis, whether it's by coming here and using our offering plate or using the donate button on our website or just sending in your check on a regular basis through bill pay or whatever. We thank each and every one of you because it's so important to all of us. It begins with me and Lawrence, who tithe on our gross income, and our board members give, and we have many members who really believe in that tithing principle, and they'll stand by it no matter what, because we know that as we give, it feels so good. And yes, we always receive as well. So let us bless our giving.